Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan. I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. So if you're tuning in today, you know we are going through a series called The Good Life, looking at the book of Job. Really, we're doing a holistic flyover of this book, not spending a week on each chapter. We'd be doing this for like an entire year if we were doing that. But the goal, as I've been teaching through this series at Worthington, is to give us a portrait of what the book of Job is, that we would see it as a masterpiece. And seeing it for what this story is holistically, find different ways that we can hold on to this story as we walk through our own seasons of sorrow, hardship, loneliness, depression, whatever it might be that we define as a hard season, that we take hold of the book of Job and find him actually to be a familiar traveling companion as we navigate some of the hardest, most challenging seasons of our lives. Now, I know you've been listening to different pastors talk about where they went on Sunday with this last message. I want to pause and talk about something that we really didn't get to discuss very much at Worthington. And hopefully this prompts you to have a deeper affection for how the scriptures work and how God communicates truth to us in his word. We didn't get to dig much into this at Worthington this last week, but something really interesting happens when you look at the layout of the Old Testament. Now, you might remember that we have the Old Testament that we borrow from the Jewish tradition, and in our English Bibles, the Old Testament books are ordered according to genre. Now, there are good reasons for that, but if you look at a Hebrew Old Testament, it's not really organized that way. The Hebrew Old Testament, which is what Job, remember, was originally written in Hebrew, not English, the Hebrew Old Testament is organized by theme. And so you're going to intentionally see books placed together so that you would find parity within the theme. So, for example, like the Old Testament book of Proverbs, it ends with this Proverbs 31 depiction of a righteous woman. Well, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the very next book that comes after Proverbs 31 is the book of Ruth, as if to say Ruth is the embodiment of this Proverbs 31 woman. You see those historical or those thematic connections. In fact, the entire Hebrew Old Testament does not end with the prophets like Malachi. It actually ends with the book of 2 Chronicles, right? To retell God's story and leaving the reader like anticipating what happens next. Okay, so why does any of this matter other than those of you who are theology nerds? Well, when you look at the organization of what's called the wisdom literature, which is made up of Job, Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, the way that the Hebrew Old Testament is organized puts Job right before the book of Proverbs. Now, why would that matter? We've been exploring one of the central themes in the book of Job is that Satan and Job's friends have a very specific version of how God works in the world, how he operates in the world. At Worthington, we talked about God's economy, what he does. And the thing that they're pointing their finger at is this idea that God just gives you what you have coming to you. So if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. This is the overarching idea that all of Job's friends have as they're talking with him. In fact, they spend almost 30 chapters saying, Job, you must have done something. Because we know God is so just, he is so fair, the only conclusion we can come to is that you must have done something to deserve this. Right? And so the book of Job is actually this invitation to reimagine how God operates in the world. The climactic moment in this book is God saying to Job, not that he is unbelievably just, not that he's unbelievably fair, but his final comments to Job focus in on his wisdom and goodness, right? As if to say, these are the primary things that define me. And when you take a step back in that way, what the book of Job is telling us, communicating to us, is that this normal back and forth that we might expect of you do good, you get good, you do bad, you get bad, that's not always how it plays out. But there are things that happen outside of our knowledge, and we bring ourselves not just before a God who is just, yes, he is just, but more than that, who is infinitely wise and good. This is the overarching message of Job. Now, why does this matter, its relationship to the book of Proverbs? Well, if you go back and look through the book of Proverbs, one of the things that you see over and over again is this idea that if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. Now, before you say, hey, I'm saying the Bible contradicts itself. No, I'm not trying to say that. But you do have passages in the book of Proverbs, like chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked earn false wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Here's the point. Proverbs is laying out for us a general idea of how the world works in general, right? You can expect as we pursue God's ways in his world that generally works out for our good. And if you do not pursue his ways and do not pursue what he says is righteous, that generally does not work for us. Job, as an entire book, is trying to counterbalance that general principle of how life works with a greater reality that there are other outside circumstances that lead to our suffering and pain and hardship that just do not follow that pattern. They're not in conflict. These are not two different visions of how God works in the world. It is creating a much broader picture of how we live and engage in the world around us today. Friends, we might be in a season where, as best we can tell, we are trying to pursue Jesus. We are trying to be faithful with what he's entrusted to us, and still might find ourselves in a very dark spiritual depression with overwhelming sense of loneliness or anxiety or just a deep sense of sorrow. By putting Job and Proverbs together and reading them together, one of the things we see is that we cannot always draw a straight line from our brokenness, our sin, to our suffering. That there are other factors at play. There is an enemy at play who seeks our demise. And Job makes way for this greater vision of how God operates in the world. As we continue to move through the series of Job at Worthington, we're going to walk through a series of invitations. The book of Job invites us to rethink how God works in the world. If you want some more context, you can go and listen to that message. We're going to look at how the book of Job invites us to face what we're going to call the dark night of the soul. We're going to see that the book of Job invites us into this process of being freed from our addiction to answers and certainty. And finally, we're going to see that the book of Job invites us into this greater process of reimagining God's end game. And this is just one way that we can work through the book of Proverbs together. So thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.